It's 12:37. High pressure over the Midwest will give way to a developing storm system, which will lift northeast out of the southern plains. This will spread snow northward into Missouri and the Ohio Valley overnight and into central Indiana on Saturday. Scattered light snow may also affect the Great Lakes. High temperatures across the Midwest today will range from near 20 degrees in northern Illinois to the mid-30s across the Ohio Valley. Lows tonight will range from near 10 degrees across northern Missouri to the upper 20s in western Kentucky. The forecast from the National Weather Service for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-20s. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 17 and a southwest wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries, a high of 28 and a southwest wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with scattered flurries and a low of 22. Sunday, cloudy with a chance of snow, the high in the low 30s. Sunday night, cloudy with a chance of snow and a low in the low 20s. Monday, cloudy with a chance of snow and a high in the mid-20s. And the outlook for Monday night, mostly cloudy and colder with a low in the single digits. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-teens to the low 30s. Most locations reported sunny skies. It was 16 degrees at Rockford. At O'Hare, 19. Also 19 at Peoria. Mattoon reported 22 degrees. Carbondale, 31. At South Bend, 16. Lafayette, 21. 25 at Indianapolis. In Terre Haute, 24. Evansville reported 32 degrees. At Willard Airport at the top of the hour, 21 degrees. The dew point, 11. The relative humidity, 65%. The wind out of the southwest at 12 miles per hour, giving us a wind chill of 9. The barometric pressure, 30.19. And falling skies were sunny. And at 12:39, it's 25 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. The heavy snow in many parts of the country has been hard on businesses like retailers and airlines, but others are profiting from the storm. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
There are some obvious businesses getting a windfall from every snowfall, like ski resorts, hardware stores, and, of course, anyone with a snowplow.
Very, very busy.
65-year-old Pat Perry has made nearly a year's income in a month clearing shopping center parking lots like this one. Joseph Biotti is on the plow behind him.
One man's meat's another man's poison, that's all I can say. Yeah, very good.
Also raking it in are the crews who are raking snow from rooftops so they don't collapse. They've been getting up to $500 an hour.
Our phones are ringing off the hook. We can't even get to all the stuff that's calling.
That's Bob Bruno from John Henry Roofing in Boston.
In 42 years of roofing, I've never seen this much weight on roofs, and that's the truth. It's insane.
The storms have meant overtime for first responders and tow truck drivers like Brendan O'Shea, who are suddenly flush.
I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Are you really?
Yeah. But so busy, I can't really stop to talk to you.
Also capitalizing on all the spin-outs and accidents are auto body shops.
Ice hit it right there.
Packed it right there. You can tell. Snowblower could have hit you right there also.
Dan Curran at J.N. Phillips Auto Glass has got a line out the door of cars clobbered by snow and ice.
This winter is beautiful. I know people don't like the snow, but in our business, the more snow, the merrier.
And speaking of merriment, every time forecasters predict a flurry that might close schools, Urban Grape wine store owner Scott Brown says he sees a flurry of parents.
There seems to be a little courage necessary in some of those households, and they do stop here to get a supply of that.
Their courage, his cash. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.
You can do anything you want to in New York City, unless what you want to do is shop at Walmart. Unions and politicians in the Big Apple have kept the mega retailer out. Walmart, however, wants in. NPR's Robert Smith reports that even a hostile city council can't stop it.
You know how Walmart has those greeters at the front entrance? Well, at a New York City council meeting yesterday, about 100 people stood outside to offer this salutation to Walmart.
Don't come in.
Not in our communities.
You would make a great anti-Walmart greeter.
Well, one thing about real New York is that we don't shut up.
Valerie Jean is absolutely right about that one. The city council hearing on the impact of a New York City Walmart store lasted 4 long hours. When it came to hating Walmart, the council stacked it deep and sold it cheap. City Council member Charles Barron represents the East New York neighborhood that Walmart's been eyeing. He set the tone.
Don't even think about coming into East New York. We're desperate for jobs, but we're not going to take anything. We want jobs with dignity, jobs with integrity, jobs with self-respect.
You know, you kind of get the feeling that Barron may vote against a Walmart store. Small problem, though. There isn't anything to actually vote on. Walmart has not formally picked a site in New York City. There's no request for a zoning change. And in fact, it's unclear who Barron was actually speaking to, since Walmart refused to show up for the hearing, which made City Council President Christine Quinn all the more mad.
Walmart's absence and refusal to attend sadly only leads me to be further skeptical about them as a company.
And so the flogging began, with testimony from professors about how Walmart can drive smaller stores out of business, and impassioned pleas from small business owners worried about the competition, and unions concerned about the low wages. So why didn't Walmart executives want to show up for their own funeral?
Well, I didn't say we weren't going to be listening.
Stephen Restivo is Walmart's director of community affairs. He was going to watch a webcast of the hearing from the safety of his own computer in New Jersey. Restivo says the whole event was hypothetical. There's no project yet. And it ignored the fact that there are dozens of other big box stores in New York, Target, Costco, Home Depot. Restivo says customers should make this decision.
If we open a store and no one comes, or we open a hiring center and no one applies for a job, we'll have learned a really important lesson about New York City. We just don't think that's going to happen.
Well, they're making sure it isn't going to happen. Instead of going to the hearing, Walmart bought radio ads talking up the benefits of a mega store. They even flew New York neighborhood leaders down to Bentonville, Arkansas. Charles Fisher took the trip, and he testified at the hearing that he was now 100% for Walmart. Fisher says executives there promised plenty of jobs and even money for college.
If Walmart right. comes into my community and they lied to me, they won't be here very long. Believe that. All right? They'll be running out of New York City.
In the end, Walmart may be able to sidestep politics altogether. One possible site for them in Brooklyn has already been zoned for big box stores. In theory, Walmart wouldn't need anything but the property developer's permission. But the New York City Council clearly sent the message, they're not going to make it easy. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.
The president of the National Academy of Sciences, Ralph Cicerone, says there is strong evidence that human-produced greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane are changing the Earth's climate. He spoke about the science of climate change at the St. Louis Science Center this week. Cicerone told Illinois Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra that although the climate has changed in the past, this time is different.
From a temperature point of view, what's different is that the temperatures are rising everywhere, whereas in some of the previous climate changes where humans were alive, like the so-called medieval warm period in Europe or the Little Ice Age, it seems clear that those temperature changes were not everywhere on the planet at once. They were pronounced in one region, maybe not at all in another region. This change is everywhere. It's the whole planet, as if the planetary energy balance is involved.
What kind of effects can we expect to see worldwide due to climate change?
Well, we're already seeing more record high temperatures than we are more record low temperatures. We've seen over the last 30 years mostly mild winters, with a couple of recent exceptions, especially in North America. We're seeing more intense rainfall events. That is, the rainfall seems to be piling up in a few higher intensity events rather than more normal patterns. Those patterns are not completely clear yet, but we think we're seeing them.
Is it possible to get down to the level of the Midwest and say what kind of changes we would expect to see here?
Not yet. We know that some vegetation zones are moving northward towards what were previously colder areas, but our ability to predict, like down at the state level, is not here yet. The kind of prediction that people are willing to make is that wet areas of the world are probably going to get wetter and dry areas are probably going to get drier, but that's not very satisfying if you want to know what's going to happen in Kansas or Missouri or Illinois. We're not there yet.
How much climate change are we already locked into, given the amount of greenhouse gases that we've already put into the atmosphere?
Well, the global average temperature has gone up about a degree Fahrenheit in the last 30 years, and we're already locked into about another degree no matter what we do, but it's probably going to go well beyond that, so that the typical predictions are 4 degrees to 8 degrees more warming this century.
So what do we need to do in order to stop the temperature from changing, and more importantly, probably to stop the more catastrophic effects of climate change?
Well, the first action is to limit the amount of these greenhouse gases that we're putting in the air every year, mostly carbon dioxide, but also methane and a few others. We have to do everything we can to slow down that dumping of these gases into the air. And that's a combination of actions like energy efficiency, to use our fuels more wisely and more efficiently, to try to use more renewable energy, probably more nuclear energy to substitute for coal and gas. But economically, that's not easy because nuclear power happens to be very expensive.
How big of a change are we talking about? How big of a change do we have to make?
If we wanted to stabilize the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere instead of allowing it to continue to increase, we would have to cut back on fossil fuel usage maybe 75%. If we allow carbon dioxide to continue to increase somewhat, maybe we would only have to cut back 50%. So a combination of actions, efficiency, renewable power, nuclear power, maybe carbon capture and sequestration, all of those actions have to add up to maybe a 50% cutback.
Ralph Cicerone is the president of the National Academy of Sciences. He spoke with Veronique LaCapra.
WILL programming is made possible by the Center for Advanced Study, presenting the 10th Chancellor's CAS Special Lecture, From Olympians to Eco-Monks, Designing and Building in Central Illinois, by Jeffrey S. Poss at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, February 10th at Knight Auditorium in the Spurlock Museum.
This is Robert Siegel from NPR's afternoon news program, All Things Considered. All Things Considered is more than just headlines. We take the time to explore the why and how of a story, finding context and perspectives on the news that you simply don't hear elsewhere. We take the time to understand why a story is important and why it matters to you. All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 4th of February, 2011. It was 7 years ago this day, 2004, Mark Zuckerberg, 19-year-old student at Harvard, launched the website Facebook out of his Harvard dorm room. 1 year before, he'd been disciplined by Harvard for creating a site called FaceMash, which hacked into